meetings. I mentioned, yeah, okay. I think let us first confirm whether we have a quorum before we proceed. I also want to, members, ask you to, I see the YouTube, the Parliament YouTube channel is on the platform. So when we speak in the meeting, that we turn on our cameras just for as long as you speak, then you can turn it off again to save broadband, if it's possible, if your network allows you to. Over to you, Secretary, to confirm the quorum.
Chair, we do correct, Chair, so I'll proceed with the roll call, Chair, if that's okay.
Proceed, thank you.
Chair, Ms. Mwatsi, Chair. Chair, Ms. Mwatsi is on the platform, Chair.
Yes, Andres.
Okay.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, everyone. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Ms. Malamatia, Mr. Malamatia, Chair.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, Secretary. I'm present.
Morning.
Mr. Mumbayani, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present. Thank you.
Good morning.
Chair, Ms. Yaku, Chair.
Morning, Chair. I'm going to try and find a better network so that I can be able to show my video next time we deliberate.
Thank you. And good morning.
Chair, Mr. Mulder, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, all. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Custis, Chair.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning.
Chair, Ms. Mutahum, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Burns Namase, Chair.
Molo Salo, Namalungwe Komiti, Namobonga Bantu, and the corner.
Good morning.
Chair, currently those are all members on the platform. I'm assuming others will join us. They may have connectivity challenges, Chair. And if I receive an apology, I will indicate you. Mr. Fling just joined us, Chair, as we speak.
Morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues. I joined about 5 minutes ago, Andre. You may have missed me. Good morning.
Okay. Anyway, leaders are never late. You just delayed. Good morning. Can we flight the agenda, please? Thank you very much. There is the agenda. It's opening and welcome. Apologies. Adoption of the agenda. Then we'll have the briefing by the Special Investigation Unit. Investigating unit on the status of its investigation into allegations of corruption at the National Lotteries Commission. We'll have a short break, 15-minute break, and then continue discussions. Then we will look at the draft program. We will explain to PC when we get there why we are looking at possible changes to our program, and then closing remarks, so we should conclude by 2. I have already welcomed everyone on this platform, and I declare this meeting open. We know that the President, in his commitment to South Africa to fight corruption, issued a proclamation on the 6th of November 2020 with specific reference to the NLC, investigating the NLC. The period of investigation was determined to be from the 1st of January 2014 until the 6th of November 2014. The scope of the investigation, according to the proclamation, refers to maladministration in terms of the affairs of the NLC in relation to, number one, the investment of funds of the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund established in terms of Section 21 of the National Lotteries Act, number 57 of 1997, contrary to the applicable provisions of the Lotteries Act. And secondly, the allocation of money in the fund to beneficiaries who are not entitled thereto in terms of the applicable provisions of the Lotteries Act 1997. Therefore, the purpose of this meeting today is to receive a status report from the SIU. We know that you haven't concluded your work, but we're asking for a status report on your investigations into the allegations of corruption at the National Lotteries Commission. So I see the SIU is led by the SIU unit head, Ms. Advocate Motibi. So I'll hand over to you, Advocate Motibi, and your team. We note also that the department is also represented on this platform by the acting COO and the chief director of audit. Thank you very much. Can we proceed, Andre? Is Advocate Motibi on the platform?
He's on the platform, Chair. You will see him there. He's on the platform. And
thank
you. No problem, Chair.
Right. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. We appreciate the opportunity to come and present to this honorable committee on the status of our investigations into the National Lotteries Commission. As you correctly mentioned, Honorable Chair, the investigation is still ongoing. We hope to conclude, and we will indicate in the body of the presentation, we're hoping to conclude part one of the investigation by the end of March, and the report will reach the President in April, following which, if the President makes it public, or the committee could obtain a copy from the President. I would like to just start off, Honorable Chair, if you permit, by introducing the team members from SIU that are attending with me. I'm joined by the following members. I'm joined by Mr. Leonard Lekgetho, who will be doing the presentation with me. He is the Chief National Investigations Officer. This investigation is conducted under his guidance with a team of investigators under him. We're also joined by Mr. Keza Khanyako. He is the Head of Communications and Stakeholder Relations and the spokesperson for the SIU. We're also joined by Mr. Mashudu Nachikweta. He is the Specialist Forensic Investigator reporting to Mr. Lekgetho. We're also joined by Mr. Nelson Mataba. He is the Principal Forensic Legal Advisor. He advises the team that's investigating so that ultimately we reach the appropriate legal outcomes. We are also joined by Ms. Rihani Hargegen. She is also a head of investigations based in Mpumalanga, but she is attached to this investigation just to help out the team. Those are the members from SIU that that are joining this meeting today. I'm going to ask Mr. Lekgetho, assuming he's been given the right, to reflect the presentation. Thank you. We'll go to the next slide.
Can we just go to slide mode?
Santos? Are you in slide mode, Mr. Lakhatho, please? Mr. Lakhatho, can you hear us? Slide mode, please. Confirm if it's in slide mode.
For PowerPoint mode, so that we don't see your border of your program that you're working in. If it's not possible, then just please proceed.
I want to confirm.
The presentation is on a PDF, so it's not a presentation. It's not in a slide mode. In a presentation, it's in a PDF format.
Okay, it's probably a technical issue that, because we have prepared, we have prepared a PowerPoint presentation. It's in slide format. Perhaps it's just from our side that perhaps as PDF as it is, whether we are not able to convert it to a slide mode or... but Honorable Chair,
is it visible so you can proceed?
Is it visible? Thank you very much. We appreciate that indulgence. We may proceed. This presentation outline that really will touch on the legislative mandate and not go into detail, as the Honorable Committee is familiar with the legislative mandate. And then we'll touch on the SIU operating model, mainly referring to the outcomes that we seek to reach as we investigate. And then we will go into the proclamation itself, where Mr. Lakhatho will then pick up and go direct into the status of the investigations. Next slide, please. The legislative mandate, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, as it's known to the Honorable Committee, the SIU is enabled by the Special Investigating Units and Special Tribunals Act of 74 of 1996. That's really the one that regulates our business in terms of investigations and other outcomes. We also take into account other legislations. We really just made mention there of the Criminal Procedure Act, because often we reach criminal law outcomes which have to be dealt with in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. And when we investigate, because often we investigate allegations of corruption, we then take into account the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act. Our major function, bottom left, includes, as I indicated, to investigate corruption, malpractice, and maladministration. We ultimately institute civil proceedings. Within our powers is those powers that really are granted to any of the law enforcement agencies to enable us to do our work, able to subpoena, search, and seize for evidence. And we also, as I indicated, ultimately institute civil litigation to recover the state funds or to prevent future losses. We, as SIU, where there's a need to arrest, we then enlist the services of the Hawks or SAPS, and where there is a need for prosecution to follow, in our case, the legislation says when we pick up evidence pointing to criminal offense, we then refer to NPA. Out of our scope is also the actual implementation of disciplinary action. While we do collect evidence, and I'll come back again to that, it is the accounting officer or accounting authority that has the responsibility to implement the disciplinary actions. While we work closely with other relevant agencies, where we really need to. Next slide, please. Not spend a lot of time on this, but our vision as we do our work, we would like us to achieve a vision where SIU is a preferred and trusted anti-corruption forensic investigator. investigation and litigation agents. This, we say so because we know that we are competing with private companies out there that conduct similar work that we do, but we would like to be prepared, and we know that to be prepared, we have to bring our part. We have to investigate effectively, adequately, speedily, bring out legally sound outcomes. So that is what we are geared up to achieve based on the strategy we have adopted. We've got our mission there, and then our work is values-based. Integrity is at the center of what we do. We also would like our teams and the stakeholders to cooperate. Teamwork, professionalism, efficiency, independence, and drive and passion. Next slide, please. Honorable Chair, these are some of the consequences or the outcomes I would have mentioned above. I would like to just spend a few minutes on this one, because the rest of the presentation is going to be mentioning all of these in terms of the outcomes that we reach. So the civil litigation part is areas where there is a need. Once we have found that the state has lost money as a result of an action either of an official or a state institution, we then institute civil litigation. We are legislatively empowered to start and end that process, to institute civil proceedings where there are potential recoveries of assets. We also apply for preservation orders. This is where we freeze assets at an early stage of the investigation where there is a prima facie evidence. So in this space, that's where we ensure that we approach the Special Tribunal since its inception in 2019. Before then, we were approaching the High Court, but because we've realized that there's delays at the High Court, the President then proclaimed the Special Tribunal in 2019, and we have seen the value of that. The speeding of litigation, the speeding of all those preservation orders. Now, the disciplinary action and referrals to state institutions, I've already sort of touched on this. Where there is evidence that we pick up pointing that anyone, whether it's an official or an accounting authority, whether it's a board member or any other level, we then take that evidence. We package it and deliver it to the state institution, to the accounting authority or accounting officer, so that action can be taken. We do support that process by providing witnesses from our investigators so that process can be successful. And the next slide, the next block, it's the legislation says where we pick up evidence that points to the commission of an offence. The legislative injunction is that we must refer that evidence to NPA, and we will be indicating in the presentation how many referrals are we likely to make to the NPA in this regard. And then, of course, we pick up evidence as we do the investigation that there's other regulatory infractions by various entities or by various companies, in this case, various non-profit organizations, non-profit companies, and so on, and other professionals like legal practitioners and all those others. In that case, we then take the evidence, we repay it to the regulatory authorities that are charged with the authority to deal with those infractions. And we do follow up and support with the evidence to an extent that it is dealt with adequately. The bottom line there that says systemic recommendations, if our investigations often reveal either failure of governance processes, failure of systems, failure of people, failure of processes, and so on. So as we investigate maladministration, ultimately would ask, as one of the main outcomes is to assist ultimately with the improvement of the administration, then we make this systemic recommendation to improve on the system, and that with what a function in SIU that, so when the investigators are done, they hand over to that function where the systemic recommendations are engaged with the state institution so that the system can be improved. So Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, this is pretty much the outcome that we seek to reach speedily so that there is consequence management at the end. I'm going to then to the next slide. This is where my colleague, Mr. Lakgetho, will start to pick up. This proclamation was proclaimed by the President following the allegations that were received by SIU. So the process that we follow is that when we receive the allegations, we then consider them against the legislative provisions, and we then, when we are satisfied that there is a basis to investigate, we draft the proclamation. It goes through the process until it's signed off by the President. So Proclamation 32 of 2020 authorized SIU to investigate into the National Lotteries Commission. At this stage, Honorable Chair, I'll hand over to my colleague, Mr. Lakgetho, to proceed with the status and other outcomes that we have reached to date. I need to just mention, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that because this is a status report, the investigation has not been concluded, but in those instances where we have concluded a particular focus area to enable us to reach an outcome, whether to investigate or to implement civil litigation or to send for a disciplinary action or to refer to the NPA and so on, we do action those as and when they are referred, as and when the evidence is picked up. So we don't wait until at the end when we submit the report for those actions to be taken. And only when those actions are public are we able to mention the names. So in this presentation, where we mention the names, it would be instances where those actions have been made public. For example, there's a slide that will deal with the preservation orders that we obtained from the Special Tribunal. Then we are mentioning the names of the companies or NPOs simply because they are public. So in other areas, we've redacted the names, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, just to guard against the legal risk and also not to compromise the investigations going forward and the possible outcomes that may be reached. I thought I would mention this to the Honorable Committee. When we complete, as I said, when we complete phase one, we will do a detailed report. And in that detailed report, there will be names, there will be actions that we have taken, and that the phase one report is scheduled to reach the President in April. So the committee will probably be made, it will be made available to the committee, and all of the details will be in that report. Mr. Lakgetho, I pause here and hand over to you.
Over to you, Mr. Lakgetho.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Advocate, and thanks, Chairperson, and thanks, Honourable Member. I will be continuing the presentation as indicated. Chairperson, with your permission, I'm going to ask that I show the camera so that I can see the Ben Wynn. If I continue with the background, Chairperson, when you started, you clearly outlined the background as to how the proclamation came and what are the issues that we are required to investigate. So I'm not going to go through it because you have clearly outlined it. Then I'll go to slide number 10. Maybe just before I start, Chairperson, I just need to outline so that the committee can be able to follow the presentation. The presentation is dealing with former board member, and it also deals with an official of NLC that are involved in some of these allegations that we have investigated. So you'll see that
We have mentioned former board member, of which is going to be former board member one, and there's also former board member two, so that you can able to follow. Then we've got senior official or official of NLC. So that's how we take out some of the members in the presentation. So starting with slide number 10, we investigation into former board member one who resigned. And this former board members was appointed as a non-executive member to serve on the NLC board from 20 April 2017 by the then Minister of Trade and Industry. And his appointment, period of appointment was for 5 years with effective from April 2017 ending in 13 March 2022. And this same former board member, we have identified that he is a trustee of one of the trusts and is also a sole director of a group of companies. And during the presentation, we'll outline some of the companies that benefited out of the company that benefited out of the NPO of the that received funding from NLC. So we'll start with the NPO one. And we'll deal with the money laundering by the former board member. And the investigation has identified that the identity of the NPO one was hijacked and 23 million grant funding was paid to the NPO. And the purpose of the grant was to build an old-age home in Mpumalanga. The project was started but not completed, as the funds allocated to the project were redirected to individuals connected to NLC. The investigation has revealed that 5 million of the 23 million received from the NLC went into the bank of the NPO one, was transferred to one attorney of the group of company belonging to the former board member for the transfer of a luxury immovable property in favor of their clients. Here we're still talking about the former board member one who received 5 million, and that 5 million went to the transfer of a luxury immovable property to that member. Then still continue with the money laundering by the former board member and his so on the 6th of December 2017, the family trust paid 565,000 from its account to the former board member's private account. And on 29 January 2020, further 300,000 was paid to an unidentified bank account. The reference for payment has been identified as that of the former board member. On the 9th of September 2016, NPO2 now, submitted an application for grant funding for construction of a drug rehabilitation center, and on the 7th of October 2016, the application was approved for funding of 17 million. And on 20 October 2016, 2 days after the signing of the agreement by NLC and NPO2 appointed a company linked to one of the senior officials of NLC for the construction and refurbishment of the rehabilitation center. And on the 22nd November 2016, a day after the NPO received a payment of 7.5 million into the account, 3.3 million was transferred to the appointed company linked to the senior official of NLC. And on the same day, the same company transferred 1 million into the private bank account of the former board member one. It should be noted that the company appointed by NPO2 was owned by the brother to one of the senior officials of NLC. So what happened is that the NLC granted fund to NPO2, and NPO2 appointed the brother to one of the senior officials of NLC. NPO2 submitted application to the NLC to build a new drug rehabilitation center in Gauteng, and the NPO refurbished and built extra building structure to an existing rehabilitation center. Here is just to indicate that the only work that they did, they just refurbish and build extra building structure to an existing drug rehabilitation center. Mind you that they received a huge sum of money. Then going back to NPO, NPCC 1. On 19 October 2016, NPC 1 received grant funding of about 7.5 million from NLC. And on 29 November 2016, a further grant of 7.5 million was paid by NLC to NPC. The purpose of the grant application was to build a drug rehabilitation center in Mpumalanga. The construction of the center was ongoing in 2021 when SIU visited the area for site inspection and interview. And on December 2016, the NPC won transfer an amount of 3.4 million into the bank account of a company owned by the brother of the senior official of NLC. And on the following day, that is 2nd of December 2016, the same company transferred 1 million to the former board member's bank account. That is former board member one. The construction of drug rehabilitation center was still ongoing when SIU visited the center in November 2021. And mind you, the grant funding was approved in 2016, but even now it's still ongoing, the building. Then conflict of interest by former board member one. The SIU investigation has revealed that during the period March to May 2018, the former board member received a total of 5.4 million into his personal bond account from various NPOs. The bond was for his primary residence house that is situated in Gauteng. It has been determined that the NPO and NPO3, that is NPO3, received grant from NLC to the tune of 8 million in 2015. And the NPO3 was used as a conduit to make an application on behalf of another NPO. The purpose of the application was to develop women in the Eastern Cape. NPO3 also received funds from hijacked NPO, then transfer some of the funds into certain NLC officials. Still on NPO3, the SIU has determined that upon receipt of grant funding from NLC, the hijacked NPOs transfer money to one of the key role players' bank accounts. And on the 28th of March 2018, NPO3 paid 2 million of the 5.4 million paid into the personal bond account of the former board member one. Here we're still talking about the former board member one and in relation to his conflict and the benefit that he has received out of the NPO that received grant from NLC. Then NPO 4, during the period 2015 to 2018, NPO 4 received 3 NLC grants to the value of 6.4 million. Then NPO 4 transferred 1.4 million to one known company, and on the 4th of April 2018, the known company transferred 1.9 to one former board member's personal bank account. Here we're still talking about the very same former board member one. An investigation now into former board member two. Now we are dealing with another former board member. On the 6th of March 2018, board member 2 signed an agreement of sale as a purchaser of a property in Gauteng for 27 million. A deposit in the amount of 25 million was paid by the former board member 2 into the trust account of one conveyancing attorney. And NPO 5 applied for a grant funding for the construction of an old age home to NLC. The application was approved and a grant funding of 23 million was approved by NLC. And on 16 October 2017, the NLC effected a payment of 20 million into the NPO 5 bank account. Construction of the old age home was started, but the construction remained incomplete until today. And on 20 October 2017, NPO 5 transferred 11.7 million to one company belonging to one of the key role players, who ultimately transferred an amount of 9.2 million to the conveyancing attorney of the former board member 2. The money was part of the deposit paid towards the property purchased by the former board member 2. And former board member 2 further received 1 million from the company owned by the brother of one senior official of NLC for the deposit of a luxury vehicle. And it is clear that the company belonging to the brother of one senior official of NLC was used as a vehicle to launder money received by NPOs from NLC. Now dealing with NPO 6, NPO 6 applied for grant funding in 2016-17 for construction of athletic tracks in Northern Cape. The application was approved and grant funding to the value of 15 million was approved. NPO 6 and NLC signed a grant agreement on 26 February 2018. NLC effected payments of 50 million into the account of the NPO 6 on 7 March 2018. The initial 15 million granted to the NPO was disused. The project only started when NLC granted further 4.2 million into the NPO. NPO 6 paid 10 million to one known company on the same day the money was paid into the account. And on the 14th of March 2018, the known company paid an amount of 2.5 million to the conveyancing attorney of the former board member 2. Remember, the former board member 2 purchased a property to the value of 27 million. So all this money was going to the same attorney so that it can go for the purchasing of that property belonging to the former board member 2. Then the former board member 2 also received 4 million from NPO 7 through his attorney in order to purchase the very same property, which is worth 27 million. Then investigation to the senior official of NLC. The senior official of NLC was involved in a number of business activities with individuals and entities that are directly or indirectly benefiting from NLC grants. We have identified the key individuals involved. During 2015 to 2016, both senior official of NLC and one known individual, they've registered two trusts. Table in the next slide are the NPO debt transfer money to one of the trust account, which was established by the NLC official and one individual. So as you can see here, in the right, extreme right, you see that the NPO or entity, and on the other side, the amount received from those NPO and the NPC. You can see the first one, the NPC, to transfer 1 million into the trust account. Then there's a private company, which also private company received money from one of the NPO, and after receiving money from the NPO, that private company transferred 2.9 into the trust account, and private company 2 also received money from the NPO, and after that it transferred 3 million into the trust account. Then together with company private company 3 transfer 1.4, private company 4 transfer 815,000, then private company 5 transfer 1 million, private company 6 transfer 3.7 million, and private company 7 transfer 100,000. So all these private companies receive money from the NPO, and after receiving money from the NPO, then it transfers the money into the trust account that is owned by one individual and one senior official of NLC. After the trust received funds from the NLC NPO, the funds were further redistributed to senior officials NLC personal accounts and other family business. As you can see, that the money went into the trust account. After the trust account, then the money is being paid now into the officials, senior officials of NLC and some of the family businesses. You can see that the private company was received 240,000, and the family trust received 1.2 million. Restaurant received 560, and private company 8, and just like that, all of those money were received from the trust account. Then company belonging to the brother of one senior official of NLC. The company was established by the elder brother to the senior official of NLC in 2016. And the elder brother resigned as a member in March 2017. The directorship still remained in the close circle of friends and family members of NLC officials. I think that was done maybe just because so that the link should not be known, but the company was established by the brother. And table in the next slide shows the NPO that transfer money to the company belonging to the brother of one senior official of NLC. As you can see, the slide might be, the writing might be small, but you can see the private company 10 transferred 560,000, and private company 6 transferred 2.7, private company 10 transferred 150,000, and NPO 10 transferred 2.3, private company 1 transferred 1.1 million, and family trust transferred 950,000, and private company 11 transfer 1.5 million, and private company 5 transfer 2.5 million, and NPO 10 transfer 4 million, private company 4 transfer 2.3, private company, I don't see the number there, transfer 0,000, and private company 3 transfer 5.9 million, and private company 3 transfer 2.7, and NPO 2 transfer 3.5, NPO NPC 3 transfer 4 million, and the total value of transaction that was received by the company owned by the brother of one senior official of NLC is 34.8 million. And during the period 3 March 2016 to 11 July 2018, the company of the brother of one of the senior officials of NLC paid a total of 5.6 million to the benefit of senior officials and the entity linked to his family. The table below shows the amount received from the company to the official. So what happened is that NPO transferred money to the trust account, then from the trust account, the money is transferred to the company owned by the brother of one senior official of NLC. Then from the company that's owned by the brother of senior official of NLC, now they transfer this money to the benefit of the official of NLC. You can see 19 May, 3.5 was paid for school payments for the son of that official, and 24 May, 830 was paid for the math lessons, 19 July, 27, 100,000 was paid into the official's bank account. 1 July, 87,000 is paid. 27 March, 1.6 is paid to a travel agency company. And 24 December, 200,000 is paid. And 26 April, 2016, 100,000 is paid. And 19 July, 1.5 is paid into the family business, and 12 October 2017, 50,000 is paid into the family trust belonging to that official of NLC. Now dealing with NPO 6, in 2015, the NPO 6 submitted an application for grant funding to NLC for an amount of 25 million. The application was unsuccessful, and in 2018, the NPO 6 submitted a second application for grant funding for the construction of athletic tracks in Northwest and Northern Cape Province. The application was approved. grant funding to the value of 50 million and was granted to the NPO 6. Then finding is that upon receipt of the funding, 10 million was transferred to one known entity's bank account. 5 million was used for personal capacity, and one senior official of NLC submitted a motivation to NLC for additional funding of 4.2 million to be issued to the NPO, and the request was subsequently approved. And NLC paid NPO 6 a total of 19 million, of which 15 million grant funding, an additional 4.2, which was applied by a senior official from NLC so that the NPO can get more funding. And athletic tracks, change room renovation, soccer field, glass, stadium, and grandstanding painting were only done after NLC approved further funding amounting to 4.2 million. And there is no value to for the money. You can see that initially the grant was given, nothing was done, then the official applied for further funding, and as a result, the federal funding was the only one which was used to do the renovation as it was initially applied for. Then flow of money from bank accounts, a company used the money to purchase properties, and a company transferred 2.5 million to the conveyance attorney of the former board member, and 2.2 was transferred to financial service for the payment of a loan. Other amounts were transferred to other accounts and used for personal benefit. They used each for purchasing and repairing of vehicles. The vehicles include Honda Jazz, Mercedes-Benz E63, Mercedes-Benz SLK AMG E63, and Audi A3. That's the money that was approved. It was not used for the purpose that was intended for. And when we deal with NPO 2, in 2016, the NPO 2 submitted the application for grant funding for HIV program to the value of 700,000. And the application was unsuccessful. In late November 2016, an amount of 15 million was paid into the NPO's bank account. The NPO was hijacked, and signatories to the bank account was changed to three known individuals. Finding is as follows. The known individual hijacked the identity of the NPO2 and submitted an application to NLC dated 9 September 2016 requesting funding for the construction of a drug rehabilitation center in Gauteng. The application was approved and NLC awarded a total of 27 million grant funding to the NPO2. Few buildings blocks were constructed in an existing drug rehab in Gauteng. The newly constructed structure are in poor quality, and there's no value to show that 27 million was really used for the purpose it was intended for. And when we analyze the flow of the 27 million, as mentioned above, NPO was awarded 27.5 million. Of the amount paid to the NPO, to 10 million was paid to one known individual's personal account, 3.1 was paid to the same individual's law firm, 3.5 was paid to a company owned by the brother to one of the senior officials of NLC. That's how the money was distributed, the 27 million. An NPO 2 bank account statement revealed that two amounts of 267,000 and 271,000 were used for the purchase of two food outlet franchises owned by one known individual. The bank statement further revealed that 5 million was transferred to one attorney for the purchase of 11 million farm. And it has been determined that 200,000 was paid from the NPO 2 bank accounts for the purchase of a vehicle. And when dealing with NPO 8 submitted application for grant funding to NLC on 11 February 2016 for 49 9 million. The purpose of the request was to assist another NPC for the project of drilling 200 boreholes in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest Free State and Eastern Cape. And on 19 February 2016, NLC approved NPO 8 grant funding to the value of 55.4 million. And on 22nd February 2016, NPO 8 and other NPC signed a memorandum of understanding that the grant will be transferred to another NPC within 2 working days upon receipt thereof. And on 24 February 2016, NPO 8 transferred the grant funding of 55.2 million to the bank account of another NPC as per the signed agreement. Financial investigation shows that upon the transfer of that 55 million, a total of 10 million was transferred to one entity for services which were not or never rendered, and 599,000 was used to purchase a new vehicle. An amount of 158,000 was also used to purchase another new vehicle, and 2.6 was used to purchase a property. 1 million was transferred to the call account of the loan entity, and 2.2 million was transferred to another loan entity. 341,000 was used to purchase a second-hand vehicle. And 200 boreholes in 5 different provinces were drilled and equipped by 2 private companies. One entity received 10 million for doing no work. Now dealing with NPO 9. NPO 9 was registered with the Department of Social Development on 24 May 2012. And on 7 December 2017, one known individual submitted the application for grant funding to NLC on behalf of the NPO 9. The purpose of the application was for the construction of integrated sports facility in Limpopo. NPO 9 was granted a grant funding of 15 million. The financial analysis of the NPO 9 is as follows. The financial analysis of conducted on the NPO bank account has revealed that a total of 695,000 was transferred from the NPO 9's bank account to one known individual's personal bank account, and 6.6 was transferred to his business account. The remaining amount was transferred to unknown accounts that the SIU is still pursuing. Value for money, NPO 9 only changed 13 doors and painted the grandstand of an existing stadium. No value for money was received for this grant. Now dealing with NPC 2. NPC 2 submitted an application on 7 June 2016 for grant funding to the amount of 50 million by the founding member of the NPC. The NPC did not receive a response from NLC. One known individual submitted a documentation to NLC of change of the NPC ownership and also change the bank details of the NPC too. The NLC adjudicated the initial application submitted on 7 June 2016. And it should be noted that the initial application was adjudicated beyond the 160 days prescribed by the NLC Act. NPC 2 received a grant funding of 10.1 million on 24 May 2017 from NLC. This is just an indication how some of the NLC were hijacked, where the owner applied and he never received any correspondence. As a result, a new application was submitted without the knowledge of the initial NPC owner. And findings, the purpose of the application submitted by NPC to NPC 2 to NLC was to host South African Youth Awards. And in the final report to NLC by the NPC 2, indicated that the events took place as planned, and invoices were also submitted to the set of the said events. And according to one government entity, NPO 2 has never funded, sponsored, or went into joint venture for hosting of any awards, whereas they submitted a report that indicated they managed to hold the award as the application was. And when we look at the financial analysis of the NPC 2, financial analysis of the NPC 2 bank account shows that money was transferred to company either owned by the known individual or his close friends. 3.2 was transferred to one entity linked to the known individual. 1.7 was transferred to an investment entity of that individual, and 1 million was transferred to the trust account owned by senior official of NLC and his family. So that's how the money was spent. Remember, they submitted the report to NLC that the events took place and they managed to sponsor the awards. And still a financial analysis of NPC 2, we can see that 2.1 million went to another known entity, 1 million was transferred to another known entity, and 151,000 went to another known entity, 1.5 million was transferred to the senior official of NLC family's company, and 500,000 went to the company of wife of the senior official of NLC. Now dealing with NPO 11. NPO 11 was hijacked by non-individuals. In terms of the application submitted to NLC by the hijackers, were to build a cricket sports development and training for the disadvantaged community in Northern Cape. The grant finding of 5.5 million was awarded to the NPO by NLC. The entire amount was not used for its intended purpose. And the financial analysis of the NPO 11 is as follows. 1.7 million and 500,000 were transferred to two entities owned by one of the known NPO hijackers, and 1.1 million was transferred to one of the NPO hijackers' key role player and close ally to the senior official of NLC. The entire amount was ultimately transferred to the entity linked to the family of the senior official of NLC. The entire grant was embezzled and no work was done. NPO 5 was also hijacked by one known hijacking key individual. They submitted a fraudulent application to NLC in their name using the NPO 5 profile to build an old age home in Northwest Province. They then opened a new bank account for the NPO. NPO was granted 23 million grant funding by NLC on 27 September 2017, and on 16 October 2017, NLC made a payment of 20 million to the NPO's bank account. And financial analysis of the NPO 5, between 17 and 27 October 2017, an amount of totaling 11.7 million was transferred from NPO's bank account to the business bank account of private company 2. Between 19 and 27 October 2017, the owner of the private company 2, refer above, transferred an amount of totally 9.2 million to a bank account of a conveyancing attorney for the purchase of the 27 million movable property to the benefit of former NLC board member 2. Remember, we spoke about the purchase of a property initially of the former board member. So money still were transferred to the conveyancing attorney. Then the attorney will use the money in order for the bond that was taken for the purchase of that immovable property. The old age home construction that was started remained unfinished to this day, whereas more than 20 million was transferred to this NPO. Now dealing with NPO 7, an application for grant was submitted on behalf of the legitimate NPO members by non-individuals. The application was for the construction of an old-age home in Limpopo. The non-individuals changed the banking account of the NPO 7 without the knowledge of the legitimate member of the NPO 7. The application was subsequently approved and 20 million was granted by NPO to NPO 7 by NLC. The legitimate member of NPO 7 became aware that NLC paid grant funding to the value of 22.5 million to the NPO, that is NPO 7. They then approached NLC to alert them that they paid money to the hijackers of NPO 7. NLC arranged a meeting with the legitimate member of NPO 7 and the hijackers to try and resolve the issue amicably. Instead of opening a criminal case against the hijackers and recover the money, NLC opted to grant further funding of 7.8 million to the legitimate members so that they can finalize the work that the initial application was meant for. And out of the 22.5 million paid to the hijackers, 4 million was transferred to convincing attorney for the purchase of the 27 million immovable property by the former NLC board member. The remainder of 22 million lot was transferred to a company owned by one of the hijackers. The funds were laundered from his company to another company linked to himself and those of the family of one senior official of NLC. Construction of the old age home was started by the legitimate member of NPO 7 after they were awarded over 7 million grants by NLC, but the project was abandoned a few years back. Now dealing with NPO 13, NLC initiated a project that is proactive funding project to build a museum and a library in Northern Cape Province. NPO 13 received 20.1 million in two tranches, that is 10 million and 10.1 million paid in two different bank accounts of NPO 13. The construction work was awarded to NPO 13. The construction work awarded to NPO 13 was awarded to a company owned by a cousin of one of the senior officials of NLC. And company appointed for the construction of the museum, these are the company which were appointed. The construction company, as indicated, was owned by a cousin of the senior official of NLC. Engineering company was owned by the brother of one senior official of NLC. Company B was owned by the wife of the senior official of NLC. The biggest chunk of the grant went to the above mentioned company. Gratification, NPO 13 paid an amount of 1.5 million to a construction company which was responsible for the building of a house for one senior official of NLC. Value for money, the project was completed, but building structure does not correlate with the money paid to the NPO 13 by NLC. SIU is in the process of acquiring services of a quantity surveyor to determine the value for money in that property. And now when we deal with NPO 1, NPO 1 was formed in Limpopo in 1999. The founding member of NPO 1 applied for grant funding and it was not approved. A fraudulent application was submitted to NLC on behalf of NPO 1 on 11 September 2017 by hijackers. And on 23 October 2017, NLC approved the application and grant funding of 27 million was awarded to the hijackers of NPO 1. The purpose for the grant was to build an old-age home in Mpumalanga. A financial analysis of the NPO 1 is that in October 28, 2017, NPO 1 transferred an amount of 5 million to an attorney for the purchase of a property owned by former NLC board member 1. Monies that came from NPO 1 and other NPOs went to different companies and was ultimately transferred to the bond account of the former NLC board member one. Almost 5.4 million was paid from different companies that received money from different NPOs, including NPO one. Construction of the old age home in Mpumalanga commenced but remained unfinished to this day, even though it started in 2017. NPO 14 background, NPO 14 submitted application for grant funding to NLC in 2015 and it was not successful. NPO 14 was hijacked by several members known to SIU and they submitted an application for grant funding to the NLC, on 5 September 2017 for the construction of an all-age home in Northern Cape Province. NLC granted NPO a grant total of 27 million. And out of the grant which was awarded, the company that funded in order to do the construction of the all-age home are as follows. Construction company was the company that was owned by cousin of one senior official of NLC, and the engineering company was owned by the brother of the NLC senior official, and the company B, which was used for the construction of all age, was owned by the wife of the senior official of NLC, and the biggest chunk also of this money went to the NLC, from NLC went to the above mentioned company. And in terms of value for money, hijackers abandoned the project at the inception stage. They vanished with all the 20 million paid by NLC. Project restarted only after further funding by NLC was granted. Despite this, project still remains unfinished till this day. And financial analysis of NPO 14 shows that the investigation revealed that 1.5 million was transferred from NPO 14 to private farming businesses and 3.8 was transferred from NPO 14 to a private company too. NPO 14 also transferred 15 million to NPO 15. And NPO 11 applied for grant funding to develop a boxing arena in the Eastern Cape. The initial application reflects that NPO 11 applied for 24 million funding but was granted a total of 31 million by NLC. The application form reflects the name of the NPO 11 member who indicated that to the SIU that they don't own NPO 11. Whereas in the application form, they are reflected as the applicants of and the owner of the NPO 11. And the financial analysis of the NPO 11 shows as follows. NPO 11 received 1 million from NLC, 7.8 was transferred to one known engineering company, 3 million was transferred to a consulting company owned by one member of a private company, 12, 6.1 million was paid to NPO 11 call account. Financial investigation analysis of private company two that we just mentioned. Private company two received 12.5 million from NPO 11 and other different hijacked NPO. After receiving the funds, the money was distributed as follows. A company linked to the brother of NLC senior official received 5.9 million. Trust account opened by one NLC senior official received 3 million. Farming company owned by the NLC senior official fund family received 800,000. Company owned by one NLC senior official received 230,000 contribution to the restaurant owned by the wife of one NLC senior official 500,000. Private company one owned by one of the key role players received 6.5 from private company two that received money from different NPO. Appointment of Quantity Surveyor. The SIU is in the process of acquiring the service of Quantity Surveyor as indicated, and an engineer to conduct a value for money exercise in the unfinished building constructed by the NPO for the purpose of recovery through civil litigation. And when dealing with civil litigation, the SIU has commenced with civil litigation and proceeding to preserve illegally gained properties and set aside grants awarded to our above-mentioned NPOs. The SIU has started with the preservation of property acquired by members of Inqaba Yokulinda NPO. We will, the next slide will outline what we have preserved. And SIU is currently in the process of appointing senior counsel to institute civil proceedings in the special tribunal to recover stolen money from NPO and NPCE mentioned in the presentation. With regard to the preservation order granted in favor of SIU in respect of the Inqaba Yokulinda NPO, R1618 Swakop Extension 8 Township belonging to Mr. Kipiwa Terence Magogodela, a vehicle belonging to Mr. Jabusi Bande, those are the vehicles which were freeze, and vehicle owned by Ritumelo Audi A3 was also freeze. On the main application, the SIU seeks to set aside the award of the grant to Inqaba Yokulinda by NLC to an amount of 19.2 million. The SIU will also request the court to order Buyisiwe Khoza, the CEO of the NPA, to pay back the 5 million which was used for her personal gain, other than what was intended for in terms of the grant agreement with the NLC. With regard to the NPA referral, evidence which points to the commission of offence in referred to NPA for further investigation and prosecution, 10 identified criminal referral against NLC officials, NPO and NPOCs will be finalized and referred to the National Prosecuting on or before 31 March 2022. In terms of disciplinary referral, a disciplinary recommendation letter dated 13 August 2021 was submitted to the Minister of Trade and Industry for former NLC Board Member 1. The member tendered his resignation immediately after he was requested by the Honourable Member Minister of Trade and Industry to furnish him with reason why he should not be fired as a result of the finding or recommendation of the SIU. And the SIU also submitted a disciplinary recommendation letter to NLC dated 27 August 2021 against senior official of NLC. Disciplinary hearing was conducted from 17 January 2022, and the SIU received the outcome of the disciplinary process. The SIU is still studying the outcome of the disciplinary hearing and will chart the way forward thereafter. And there are some reservations with regard to the way the disciplinary hearing was conducted. Further disciplinary recommendation will be referred to NLC as and when the evidence becomes available. And with regard to the investigation, as advocate indicated, SIU is in the process of finalizing 12 investigations that form part of phase one. Allegations of the said investigation which were received in the latter part of 2021 will be finalized around the 8th of June 2022. Phase two of the investigation is currently we have received 22 new allegations. The investigation of the new allegation will commence from the 1st of March, which started yesterday, until November 2022. In total, the SIU will investigate approximately 50 allegations relating to irregular allocation of funds by the NLC to unqualified beneficiaries. The SIU will further investigate maladministration in relation to the investment of funds in the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund, contrary to the provision of the Lottery Act. And from here, I will hand over back to Advocate Mukidi so that he can finalize with regard to the observation. Advocate, over to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lekgetho. I really appreciate that presentation. Honorable Chair, honorable members, as the honorable committee can really observe, we have, in our investigation, uncovered a web of corrupt networks. And this involves detailed investigation, detailed analysis, and we have, as part of our observations, we have observed the utilization of the modus operandi, the method of operation used to siphon money from NLC through various NPOs and NPCs, and of course involving other vehicles, whether it's legal firms or any other related vehicles. For that part, we have uncovered with stringent investigative methods, analyzing the flow of funds, and we now, as my colleague has indicated, have gathered evidence, and it's now the time to conclude and refer further actions for further outcomes for action. We have also observed that there is a high measure of collusion between the NLC officials and the NPOs and NPCs. And of course, we will detail this in the report that we will prepare. Chair, there's a cross line.
Can we ask everyone on the platform to mute, please, besides the speaker?
Thank you, Chair. We have also observed a collusion between some board members and NPOs and NPCs. And as we say, we will unpack and particularize the nature of the collusion for purposes of action to be taken. I need to just assure the Honorable Committee that even in instances where either it's board members or officials who resign, the resignation, while in its nature,
Advocate, I think you're frozen.
No, Chair, there's people that keep unmuting themselves and interrupting the advocate.
Can we ask the secretariat to remove the people from the platform who is disrupting the meeting?
We'll do,
and
Chair.
Ask the advocate to conclude, please. You were talking about NLC officials who resign from the NLC. Advocate, have we lost the advocate?
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
This is Keiza Kanyago. We just had a load shedding or something, but our generator is recovering. I think he will come back.
Okay. Can you, Mr. Kanyago, can you conclude? Or would you prefer that we wait for the advocate to reconnect?
Yes, I'll prefer that. Thanks.
Can we then just ask the secretariat to indicate to us when the advocate is back on the platform? Can we just take a comfort break of a minute or two while we wait for him to rejoin?
Thanks, Chair.
secretary, can we just check with advocate Motibi?
Okay, I'm in the process. I'm in the process of checking with his office chair. Can you just give me a moment? Chair, advocate is on the platform, Chair. He's connecting to his audio.
Thank you very much for reconnecting, Advocate Motibi. You froze at the point where you were briefing us on members of the NLC who have resigned. If you can just pick up from that point. Thank you. Please unmute. You are muted. Can you start afresh? Yeah.
Yes. I was just saying apologies for the reconnection. I'm not sure whether this is load shedding or any other technical problems, but the technicians are looking at it. Sorry about that. We really apologize. Okay, just to pick up where I ended, as I was saying, the resignation, while in its nature, terminates the employer-employee relations if it's the official. And if it's the board member, it terminates their membership on the board, and of course, consequently, no disciplinary action can be taken. But from a civil recovery perspective, we are still able to take civil action to recover from these people, whether they've resigned or not. From a criminal prosecution or criminal perspective, we will also ensure that They are followed on. So, Chair, we've also observed, Mr. Lakhacho, please, if you can just reflect the presentation. We have also observed the abuse of NPOs and NPCs through generally what's called, you know, hijacking, or just deliberately abusing these vehicles for purposes of siphoning money and embezzling the money from the NLCs. And we will identify, we've identified that, we will particularize it in the report. Review of proactive funding. Particular, this proactive funding process to be reviewed. There is a measure of abuse relating to proactive funding process.
I think the advocate is still having connectivity problems. It seems like it, because he has frozen again. Advocate?
Chair, I'm contacting the office to see what's going on, Chair.
Okay. And we've gone so well up until this point. Let's just have a little bit of patience.
Chairperson, they are looking at the matter. It appears there is load shedding happening at the moment, so they're trying to reconnect as soon as they can, Chair.
Can we check whether anybody on the team can conclude, and then we can go into a question session with the members while we sort out the connectivity problems of
the presenter of the presentation, Mr. Leonard, also is off the platform at the moment, Chair. So I'll check with the office again if anyone else can conclude the matter, Chair.
Thank you.
Chairperson.
Honorable Cuthbert.
You did say at the beginning of the meeting that there was a scheduled break. Should we not take that scheduled break now? It seems as if, and I don't want to preempt the SIU's work, but they have, you know, got to the close to the end of their presentation. Should we not take a break now, allow them to get their devices connected properly, and then we can come back, they can quickly wrap up, and we can ask the questions?
Yes, that's a very good idea. I will take that recommendation from Honorable Cuthbert. So we'll have a 15-minute break now, and we'll ask the committee secretariat to work with the SIU so that in 15 minutes, let's say at 10:45, we come back and we resume with everyone on the platform. Thank you very much. We will break now, committee secretary.
I will inform the SIU chair and that they'll be back for 15 minutes.